Yeah, thank you, Steve. Yes, it's interesting how all the different type of songs and stuff of that kind of work together with the theme of the day. So praise the Lord for that. That's God, right? Weaving His wonders mysteriously in our lives. It's great to see you all this morning. Humans. People. We don't like impossibilities, do we? Because way, way back, the ancestors, those guys they call cavemen, they didn't like carrying things, so they invented a wheel. It was impossible for them to carry things too far. And these days, we meet impossibilities like we can't fly very well. In fact, we can't fly at all. And running, we run, but even a grizzly bear can run us down, so we're not fast enough. So you just hope that the person behind you is a little bit slower, right? The water, you know, you can't do anything. You can't, you know, we try to swim, and we're just not fast enough, you know. And so we come to that, you just kind of going, well, what do we do? Well, what do we do is we start inventing things. God gave us the creative. You know, He's the creator, and He's given us, and we're made in His image, so He has given us wisdom. He's given us knowledge. He's given us the ability to invent things, such as airplanes, boats, cars, to help us speed up and move forward and do things that were impossible for us to do before. And then when it comes on walking on water, you're going, well, that's really impossible. Nobody can do that. Well, actually, God created some insects and even some little animals that could run on water. Have you ever seen the Jesus lizard, they call it? He slaps his feet on that water. He's going so fast, and his tail's propelling. He goes right across the water, just like he's walking on it. Or even like little insects, if you see those little water insects, you know, their legs have special ability, you know, they're made specially for with the hairs and how they can repel the water's tension of the surface just right and also to capture air so they can stay afloat. Well, you know what we did? Have you ever been in one? Have you ever been in one, anybody? They have these big bubbles. Right, Joy? Remember the big bubble in Thailand? We put our boys in, and it was great. I was hoping they'd just keep going. But, you know, and we had some friends, and we kind of one in each, you know, and, you know, they're in these little bubbles, and they're on the water. They're working hard, too, and they're bumping in the water. Of course, I didn't try it. I don't know if it would have helped me. I don't know. But so we invent things, you know, and to be able to do things that are impossible. Well, you know, with Jesus, you know, there's nothing impossible. In fact, as we look at this passage today, we know that He walks on water even. He makes the impossible possible. He does something incredible. He makes it look like a walk in a park in the evening. And that's who He is. While we build things, invent things, and try, you know, to use what He has provided us to be able to do these things, but still, for us alone, these things are still impossible for us to fly and to walk on water and to run at faster speeds like a car or something like that. We just can't do that. Our bodies aren't built for that. And Jesus knows that we do have limitations, and there's reasons for that as well. But I also believe one day when we get new bodies, I think the limitations will be gone. So we will walk on water one day. Wouldn't that be awesome, huh? So we look at this part here with Jesus, and going back to that lizard, I have to go back because I've seen those lizards zip across the water. You know what? If there's a big expanse of water in front of me, and you gave me a tail, and there's a pumpkin pie on the other side, I'll be slapping that water, and I'll be zipping with my tail and getting over there as fast as I can, but we don't want to think about that too much. So we will focus upon the Lord here as he is walking and showing things. You know, as I was going into this passage and I was reading a commentary by Warren Wiersbe, and he said this, because remember now, what happened just before Jesus walked on the waters, he did what? What did he do last week? He fed the 5,000 plus. That's pretty amazing. Okay, if we ordered pizza and everybody, you know, that would be okay. But no, he did just had five little loaves of bread and two fish. So, you know, something amazing happened there. And so, and then coming into this scene here with what Jesus is going to be doing on the water. And Wiersbe said this, he says, the feeding of the 5,000 was the lesson. So Jesus is the teacher. He's always teaching. He gives us lessons to learn. But the storm, talking about the sea where the disciples will be in the boat, the storm was the examination after the lesson. So we know the teachers give us lessons, right? And we're sitting there going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then here comes the bad boy exam. And that exam isn't always on everything they say, right? Because they're thinking a little bit more and say, hey, let's see if I'm going to go a little bit this way and a little bit that way. I'm going to see if they got a broader understanding of this or a deeper understanding of what we're getting at here in this lesson. Can they pick up on these little nuances, these things that will be important for them and building blocks for them for the rest of their lives? And that's what those exams are about. So when you get all mad, and I used to, you know, well, I didn't care too much in school, but excuse me. But those who do care, you know, you're working hard, you listen to lessons, you're writing all down, and you study it, and then you come up with about at least 10 more other questions, and you're going, what? You know, so you just have to just use your mind. And trust God in those situations too, that you actually do understand what is being taught there. So we're going to see. We're going to see how the disciples are doing. And you know what? We're disciples. So we'll see them, but we can put ourselves in their little boots and see how we take this lesson. And when we face this examination in our lives, see what happens with our faith as well. Let's pray before we continue on. Father, we rejoice in your word and the hope that we have in you. And Lord, I just ask that your presence will abound here, that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts and minds to what you have us to learn today. And not just learn, but to go deeper with it. And not just go deeper with it, but to also to apply it into our lives, our daily lives, changing us. Yes, Father, that's what I pray. I pray that your word will change each of us into the image of Christ that much more today, that we can be a blessing to others around us and honor your name. Bless this time, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't like exams. I don't know about you. I never have, but I always like giving them. That's the thing there. So here we are, evening time. And now there's a couple other passages too, because not only is it in John, but it's also in Matthew and Mark. So we're kind of going, bouncing back and forth a little bit here. But if you go back, I think it is in Mark chapter 6. I think it's either Mark chapter 6 or Matthew. I have to remind myself on that one too. Matthew is 14, I know that. I think it was Mark then. I'm just looking at the scripture here. Yeah, in Mark chapter 6, verse 45, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him. Well, what was wrong there? What's going on? Well, just before that, if we go back to chapter 6, and I know we're going to be switching back and forth, so just, you know, if you know, try your best to keep up or listen as best you can. But what happened for us that there in John chapter 6 on verse 15, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So he was getting his disciples out of the possibility of getting swept up into fanaticism. These guys wanted to make Jesus king. I don't know about you, but I would. He filled my belly. Something they probably knew, that there was hardly any food and things were multiplying and they were eating and they're full. And these guys are collecting basketfuls and go, oh, this is the one. He is the Messiah. Let's make him king. You know, let's do it. You know, and Jesus is going, no. Because that's not the way it's working out. Their timing is off, right? That time has not yet come for him. So he got his disciples out of there, and he went, you know, he dismissed the people, and then he went up to be with his Father alone, which is preparing his heart and seeking guidance in that time, and refreshing, I believe, as well. Jesus knows the heart of men. See, he knew what was going on there. In John chapter 2, 24, it says, there's a passage there, talking a little bit how Jesus does know our hearts there. In 24, 25 in chapter 2, it says, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. So he knows, right? He knows exactly what's going on in the hearts of man. And a lot of it is treachery. A lot of it's selfishness. A lot of it is just confusion and just you know, pridefulness and just doing whatever we want, you know, we think is best, right for us, just like in the days of Judges. You know, we do what we think is just right for us. For in those days, we had no king. And he knows that. That's the way we are. He knows there's issues with our hearts. And when he knows that, and this, did you notice there, as Steve was reading there in verse 17, by now it was dark. So now you're in a dark setting. It's not light. They can't, you know, when it gets dark, you can't really see very well, right? So in those type of settings, I don't know about you, but minds start to play little tricks, don't they? Old rumors come alive, superstitions. I spilled my milk. Get the salt. How many times? Over the shoulder? Left shoulder? Sorry, left shoulder. I think something like that. Black cat. I had a black cat. I never walked around it. Maybe I kicked it sometimes. I petted them too. You know, that stuff. But this is... Why are you laughing, Joy? You like the kicking cat thing? But, you know, so you get these things, strange things, things that are just, they're not justifiable. They're just beliefs that we just throw out there, right? We just throw them out. You know, it's dark. You know, what happens when it's dark? Well, scary things are going to happen, right? It's got to happen. Something's going to happen. And then, of course, what does happen? Here's this guy walking on water. Dead ghost! Right? Ghost! Definitely. I would be right there with him. What is that? I'd be rowing another way, and I don't know. I, you know that lizard that goes fast on the water? Man, I'd think I'd be trying that right away. I mean, this is the strangest thing, okay? The strangest thing going on here. They were freaked out. When you look at, like, the other passages here, you know, here it doesn't really, they say they were frightened. That's a wimpy word compared to what they were. Because if you go back into Mark, I think they say they were terrified. Okay, they were terrified. And I think what back in Matthew here, let me look what they were doing. I mean, what type of reactions. Now, these are different perspectives, right? Okay, so from their own hearts or what they're seeing, how the other people are reacting, they're going to write it that way. And, you know, here in Matthew it says, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. So it's kind of like, wah! You know, those old movies where you have the lady screaming that loud shrill and it just your hair starts going, you know, and you're ready to fight or run, you know, fight or flight, right? So that's what's going on there. What an interesting scene. Interesting scene. See, Alistair Begg, when I was listening to him on this message as well, he said, fear is like the first cousin of unbelief. I thought that was interesting. So when we start fearing things, and you know, they might not even be real things or things that are logical or whatever. It doesn't matter. When fear strikes, unbelief certainly isn't far behind. Because now, you know, we're challenging something that we're meeting the impossible, right? We can't take care of ourselves. Here's a ghost. What do? You know, you can't take care of yourself. You have no defense. So fear breaks forth. And you just can't believe your eyes. It's amazing. And as we go on in this, we kind of go back to Mark. I have to go back to Mark again, too, because there's another issue going on here. In Mark, I think it was 51:52, this is what it says there in chapter 6. It says, then he climbed into the boat. So that's something he did, and we'll get into that a little bit later. He climbed in a boat, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, okay? For they had not understood, about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. There's your issue. Their hearts were hardened. The hearts of man, our hearts are always getting hardened by one thing or another, by unbelief, by fear, by superstitions, by, you know, just whatever. Or even our own agendas where, you know, God, Jesus knows that we like to seek comfort and pleasure. Saduk sabai, as they say in Thai. They love the convenience. They love the comforts. And we like pleasure. In fact, you know, the Roman government, they're smart. Did you know how smart these guys were? They had 93 days in the year that they would hold games for the people. 93 at government expense. So you didn't have to pay to go into the football stadiums there. It was just for you, just to kind of let you just let loose in a more positive way than rather than causing rebellions or whatever they were going to do. So they were pretty smart, you know, and they knew people were seeking pleasure, and they knew they were seeking comforts, so they probably had food involved and all that stuff too. So they appeasing them and the nature of man, right? Seeking that out. Thing is, Jesus isn't like that. See, Jesus, he desires our hearts, and that's why he gives us these exams, because he wants to go deeper. He doesn't really care about our comfort and pleasure that much. He wants to get us to a place to where we have abundant life with him. And so he's going to take us a deeper, and he's going to press us, and he's going to push us, and he's going to cause us to be very uncomfortable, and he's going to have changes coming our way, and he's going to have deeper lessons that lead us to very deep examinations in our lives that will really test us and see where our hearts truly are. And when we're crying out, "Hey, ghost!" we're way off base. Why? Because superstitions, fears, selfishness, lack of knowledge, confusion, all these things, lies, all comes at. But you know what? Praise the Lord that we have Jesus. You know what? I really like this. They're back in Mark again. See, it was dark, remember? And in verse 48, it says there in chapter 6 of Mark, I'll go to 47. It says, later that night, so it was that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and Jesus, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars. Night is like day to Jesus, yeah. He saw them. He was on land. These guys were 3 or 4 miles out. Wow. Do you understand that he sees them even in the darkness? That's a miracle. That's supernatural. And he started to walk out. And he knew exactly where they were. It says in somebody, I think in one of these, I think it might have been Mark or something, where he was walking out and he wasn't even going to go to the boat. He was just going to go ahead of them. It was what it looked like, but he did go close enough that they could see him because the exam is on, right? So he's examining their hearts. And then you go to Isaiah 52. And what it says here, Isaiah had these words God put upon his hearts there. 52, I'm just picking it up, 7. It says this. Now he's writing, he's prophesying here by the power of God about Israel's future, because this had not happened yet. They were going to be taken captives by the Babylonians. All right? Okay, but then here's some good news. Here's some good news here. Listen to this. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Your God reigns. There's that song too, isn't it? Your God reigns. Oh wait, our God reigns. We're going to be singing that a little later. So we're going to try to work our vocal cords, right? Sharon, you said we have to go up high. We'll do that as best we can. But that's that word. And he's proclaimed, this is good news. There's peace. There's restoration. There's a new start because they did come back from exile. They came back from exile. If you want to go further, you go on to see what God put upon Apostles Paul's heart. They're in Romans. Romans 10, verse 15. It says this. He uses the same scripture. But now he's got a different context about it. It says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And then where's that scripture? I know I wrote it. Did I write down the wrong thing? I must have. It's further down. Well, where did it go? Is it 9? There it is. Thank you. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, God raised him from no. But he said the same scripture as Isaiah. What happened? Did my Bible change on me? Oh, here you are. It is right here in verse 15. Sorry about that. I was reading the wrong thing, 10:15. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So now he's talking about we're all captive. But we're captive to sin. We're not just captive to the Babylonians, but we're captive to sin. But now he's saying, here's the good news, because someone's coming. And he's bringing that good news, and he's going to release us from captivity. He'll take that sin away from us. So the exam is on. See, Jesus sees us. He cares about us. He is showing his supernatural nature, really, his divine nature, his eternalness, you know, his divinity, as some people would say, that he is truly God in all of this. And now I have to say this. As I'm looking at this, it says, how beautiful are the waves, are his feet who brings good news. Because remember that, I think it was the passage there in Psalm 77 there that Steve read earlier. And it's talking about these feet of Jesus, talking about his power over nature, over the waters. And, you know, the water saw him, and they were running away from him. You know, they can't even, the waters have nothing that he can't deal with, right? It says, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, this is verse 19, though your footprints were not seen. I think that's prophecy right there about what's happening in this passage here. He's walking on these waves, yet there's no footprint to be seen. And he is in command of it all. And then as they cry out and freak out in the boat, he says, take courage, right? Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. So, okay, turn it on. Okay, interesting info. Stuff like that. Great scene, just something that you're going, what? Well, put you in a boat. Now you're in a boat. Now, in fact, I'm going to put you in Peter's body. Is that all right? You're in Peter's body now. Okay, man or woman, doesn't matter. These days, it doesn't matter. But there, you know, just put yourself in his position. He's freaked out. But now, maybe some sense. But then he comes there. You have to go to Matthew 14 now. Kind of pick up on this scene here. There in verse 25, and start that. It says, shortly, and here's Jesus walking on a lake. When the disciples saw him walking on a lake, there in verse 26, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Then Jesus says, well, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And then here's Peter. Here you are. Lord, if... I think they should have capital I, capital F here. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. See, if you're not a follower of Christ, if you're not a follower of Christ, and you're getting freaked out by a lot of things, well, there's one way you can approach this thing. Do you just see a ghost? Is Jesus just a fairy tale, a phantom? People just talk about this guy and he's so old, he doesn't have any, it's just not nothing for him today. Is he our ghost? He's a ghost to many people. He's just a funny story that people listen to, you know, some stories they hear, fairy, you know, they do, and they kind of go, oh, yeah, yeah, and then they, phew. That's pretty much how they would react. But I call you, if you're not a follower of Christ yet, if you haven't really quite given him your heart yet, well, first of all, do what Peter did. Try him out. Ask. Say, hey, I know a lot of people say this, Lord, if you really are real, help me. He's doing the same thing, but he's going, I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to get out in the water. Ooh-wee. That's some courage there. Maybe a little craziness, too. I think Peter got hit in the head by a rock before, maybe. I don't know, but something happened there that he would even think that he could do that. But he says, if it is you, Lord, if it is you, Lord, now he's starting to get to focus. He now is not a ghost anymore to him. He's going, wait, there's something more here. Call me out, Lord. And yeah, when he stepped out on water, he started what? He started walking on water. He's doing pretty good. I don't know how many steps he took. He took it. Or if you're not ready to get out on the water yet, maybe you just need to, you know, after this scene, they invited Jesus into the boat. See, so if you're not ready to get out and test the waters yet, invite him into the boat, in your life. And, you know, they experienced the sea got calm. And it says John there, it says their boat immediately arrived at shore. There's no more struggles going on. See, he saw them struggling on the waters. You know, that's the way we do in our lives. We're struggling, trying to do things ourselves, right? And he sees us, and he comes close to us. And he calls us to know who he is, to call upon him. And as Peter took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wind and most likely the waves, what did he do? He started to go boom, 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 sinking down. And what did he do? I'm dead. Bye. No, he did the best thing you can ever do. Save me! Save me! Lord, save me! Best thing he could have did. And Jesus went, I don't know, Peter. I don't know. I'm so tired of you. Did he do that? No. It says, I don't know about your book here and there, Matthew. It says, immediately Jesus went, caught his hand, says, you're mine. I got you. Yeah, I know you're sinking, but I got you. I got you. I'm not going to let go. I'll come into your boat. You are learning. I got you. See, you can say that for us as followers of Christ too, but I got a question for you. I got a question for you here. What are the wind and waves in your life that are causing you to sink? What are they? Health? Relationships? Money? All these things, right? What? Fear. So fear of what? So what is sinking us into the waters? And as Sam was teaching this morning about, you know, we got to know who we are in Christ. And we actually need to yield to him and walk in the Spirit with him. So what's sinking us? What burdens are we carrying, trying to carry ourselves to row the boat we're trying to row and get across, and we're going against this rough wind and the seas are tough, straining at the oars? What's getting us there? And the next question is, do you just continue on with the straining of the oars? Or do you do what Peter said? Hey, I want to be like you. I want to do what you do. Yeah, I get out there. Yeah, I know things kind of confuse me and I start to sink. But I know, Jesus, you got me. You got me. You see, for a long time, the examination for the disciples was going really bad. All right? They were freaking out. They're probably going to get a low score on their exam. But then it all kind of came together, because not only Peter, but the others were watching Peter too. And his courage, and just he finally had that, I don't know what came over him, but he said, if you're the Lord, I know you're going to, I can do what you're doing because you're here with me. And then when the world comes and you start taking your eyes off, we take our eyes off Jesus and we start to sink, Well, you know, some people just sink and they just hold on to themselves or whatever thing in the world to try to help themselves out, but that's just not good enough. See, what we're supposed to do is say, Lord, help me, save me. Save me from this situation, this circumstance I'm going through, this wind and waves in my life. Knowing that Jesus will go, boom, pick me up out of the water, go in the boat together, everything gets calm. We get to the shore, and in amazement, they do this, and this is where they get the B plus. They didn't get quite an A, but they got a B plus. Because look what they said there. Truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the Son of God. When you experience His power and His presence, and you receive it, and humble yourselves before it, each one of us will be saying the same thing. Truly, you are the Son of God. And the B plus will become an A after a while. The examination was done. The one where things were impossible, He sees through the dark and sees where we are. And He comes near us. And He allows us to be more like Him, even when we fail, as we sink. And He reaches down because of His love for us. And He says, keep going. I'm with you. Keep going. I got you. When we allow Jesus to be God, when we allow God to be God, that's the best thing we can do, and then the impossible comes possible. That's when the scripture comes back. I can do what? All things through Christ who gives me strength. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and oh, what a great examination. Oh, it's hard. It's a tough exam for me. It's a tough exam. Because I know winds and waves in my life, and a lot of it is just because of me, because of what I want. I seek my own pleasures and comfort and agenda and all that. And so, Lord, I know where I sink. But help me always to remember to call upon your name. For you are faithful, and you are gracious, and you are good. Reach down and pick me up again. And I pray that for each one of us here. And Lord, I pray that as we are broken, that we will also walk with those who are broken around us who don't even know this. They just think Jesus is a ghost. They think you are just a story, a fairy tale that has no true meaning today, no relevance at all. So may we in our brokenness speak into their lives through prayer, through opportunities to encourage them, to speak the word of Christ, to point them to you, Jesus, to where they can say, hey, if you are really God, can you help me? Oh, Father, how many prayers like that have you answered as you reach down and drawn many out of that rugged, rough sea to everlasting life. So may we be faithful in this. May your name be honored and glorified in all we do. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all those people say,
amen.
Amen.